Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the I Teach Podcast. I am your host for today, Tamika Duffy from KSU I Teach, and today we're going to be focused on the moment I realized literacy from a teacher turned author's point of view. In the past episode, Max and Hannah discussed such topics as traditional reading blocks with basal readers, that had the round robin style reading, and they also led to more flexible components of literacy, such as visual literacy or literacy through memorization of popular books, such as The Little Red Hen. These were just to tap into the different components of literacy, such as comprehension, inferencing, predicting, etc. They even discussed cross-curricular literacy experiences that would allow for literacy to not be boxed into a subject. Today we have with us teacher turned authoress, Miss Allison Wingston. We want to take a moment to get her perspective on literacy, starting with where she has seen it change over the years and where she sees it in the future from both an educator's and an author's point of view. Welcome, Allison. How are you today?
Fine. How about yourself?
Oh, I couldn't be better. Thank you so much for joining us and giving me your perspective on things. I want to start out by asking you to share a little bit about your background as an educator.
Okay, well, I am a retired public school teacher who taught for 33 years on each level of our public school, that being elementary, middle, and high school. I spent 5 years teaching on the high school level, 17 years teaching on the middle school level, and 11 years teaching on the elementary school level.
Okay, wonderful. So you are well versed at each level, from elementary up through high school. All right. So now let me ask you this. What led you to writing children's books?
Well, this happened while teaching my fourth grade class some years ago, and I was building for background, talking about a story that they were about to read, preparing them for the story they're about to read, about a young girl who was a northerner like myself, and she was about to travel down south with her aunt to a family reunion. So I decided to use my own experience, and I began to say to the students, oh, wow, I always knew when it was time to go down south, because my mother would fry that chicken and the aroma would come all the way from the kitchen to my back room, and my dad would have those sodas in the cooler, and I knew we were going down south. And after I said that, I stopped and I looked at my students and said, hey, I should write a book. And they were like, yeah.
Wow. So actually, in your experience as an educator, you got the epiphany to become a children's book author. Wow, yes. That's amazing. For those of you that don't know, can you please tell the books that you've published so far, as well as the titles, so that if anybody wants to go and get these books or want to check into some of your books, that they can have access to them?
Okay, well, of course, the first one is entitled Going Down South. And my other two books are My Aunt Kay and Roll Over, Roll Over.
Okay.
My Aunt Kay is about my Aunt Kay, who I love.
Right. Okay. Some real life experiences in that. All right. So now, in looking at literacy, you know, so you've been in the education game for three and a half decades now, we would say, huh? How have you seen literacy change over the years?
Well, when I entered education, so we're talking about early 80s, 1984, reading was just considered a separate subject, okay? Mm-hmm. It was just, you did reading, then you did English, then you did social studies. So it was very compartmentalized, okay?
Okay.
And over the years, thank goodness, I have watched reading, people begin to understand that reading is in every subject. So it is important not for us to just think that we only deal with reading in one particular subject, but all the subjects call for reading skills, reading comprehension, inferencing, all the main idea, understanding, true and false. You have that in every subject.
And that's so true literacy.
Literacy, become more inclusive.
Right. And not just calling words on a page and thinking that that's what literate means.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So let me ask you, what does reading look like in the future? Well, actually, let me before I even go to that question, I want to ask you this. What matters about reading comprehension and how does that tie into literacy?
Well, what matters about reading comprehension is that it is a broad, a very broad subject. I mean, you know, when I think about, for instance, one of the things I remember, Barnoff Loft series, they don't exist anymore. But the great thing about that series is that you had all of these skills, locating, main idea, you know, inferencing. All of that is a part of reading comprehension. That reading comprehension, and now we understand that in order for students to be successful, you have to meet them where they are. Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to give, there's so many avenues now. At one point, you know, if you just couldn't read the words on the page, you were just in trouble. And now they understand that we can do visual. And that goes into how children learn. You know, if you study the brain series like Howard Gardner, who I love dearly, that talked about the different ways in which people learn.
Right.
You know, we have to meet them where they are.
And you know that one of the tenets of personalized learning, and we have been talking about that a lot this week as well, is learner agency. So and part of that meeting students where they are is giving them the autonomy to make choices for the way that they want to meet their goals and learning paths instead of always telling them, allowing them to have those experiences. So if you're looking at that in the standpoint of literacy, you don't want them to be intimidated because they feel like they can't read if they can't call all the words that are on a page. They want to you want to be able to teach them different strategies for how to build. And those experiences that they have, whether they're failed experiences or successful experiences, all of that go into the package for helping them to build as literate scholars, building their literacy. Very good. And so what I want to ask you now is, what does reading look like in the future? What do you think reading is going to look like in the future?
Well, I'm very excited about reading in the future because you have all of these avenues now. It's not just about the book.
Right.
You know, we have games that students can use for reading. And the computer, there are a plethora of things that we have apps that children can use to help them be successful readers. So you have a lot of more avenues than you at one time did. And as an educator, that only enhances your teaching because now you can reach. I knew a teacher who had in a collaborative setting, and she had a special ed student in her class.
Mm-hmm.
And she found a program where that child who was a non-reader could sit and learn.
Right.
So he was making success. He was able to, and he felt good about learning. And that's what you want. You want students to feel successful.
Right. And even if they are unsuccessful, to be able to learn from the mistakes that they made or the failures that they made, but also having choices to help them with their learning path in itself. So you hit that right on the nail. And so now I want to just move into, and this is going to be where we're going to get ready to close it and wrap it up. I want to move into your role now as an author. So do you foresee having to pivot or change how you reach your audience as an author in the future?
Oh, most definitely. You know, for me, because I of my age, I'm not going to tell you, but you know, I switch roles. I go from educator to learner. And so now I know that there are many ways, not just, yes, it was fantastic to have my books published, but it's also fantastic to have them so that they can reach the different learners. So audiobooks are important. You know, I have a colleague who reads on Facebook, takes a book and reads on Facebook every day. Getting for students who are have a better hearing acuity, that's a method of using. And just, you know, allowing students to have different choices. My books, I want to reach them. It's always a dear friend also suggested perhaps doing a podcast where wow. I'm reading my books. So I think that's wonderful.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we want to thank you so much for giving us this snippet of your time, giving your perspective and point of view on some things, which a lot of it we can agree with as well. So those of you that are listening, what's coming up next, I want you to look forward to the next episode in this series with Literacy Month, where we're focusing on the time I realized whatever. So I want you to understand that next episode, Hannah and Max will have some actionable items to help you realize that you can do this work too. So it'll be the moment I realize that I can do this work too. And so I want to wrap up by saying thanks again, Allison, for helping us with the moment I realized literacy from a teacher turned author's point of view. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank you.
From all of us working on Season 6 here on the Kennesaw State University iTeach team, thank you sincerely for listening. And if you'd like more resources, check out our resource hub at ksuiteach.org or follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or even YouTube. If you'd like to get in touch with us directly, check out iteach.kennesaw.edu. Thanks again.